This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a gift to be with you all this morning to gather as the people of God in the house of God. And I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us this morning. We're very glad that you found your way here and hope that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you this morning at the passing of the peace and after the service. If you are visiting with us and would like to know more about West End, we invite you to come into Reed Hall, which is just outside this doorway, after the service, where there's a welcome desk and there will be friends there to greet you and tell you a little bit more. And as you sign in on the registration pads, which I hope are already making their way down the row, if you would share a mailing address or an email address, that'll give us an opportunity to be in touch with you. Well, summer is upon us. This is Memorial Day weekend. We remember those who've made sacrifices on our behalf. And as the summer begins, there are many opportunities to serve here at West End. We have Vacation Bible School coming up in just a couple of weeks, and this is an opportunity for children in our congregation, in our preschool, in our community to come together and learn about God. And it takes the support of all of us, and especially we are in need of a couple more folks to lead our three-year-olds. And who doesn't want to do that? What a wonderful opportunity. So if you have that gift or that willingness to help, let me know or Becky Peeler know, and we can get you signed up. Also this summer, a wonderful ministry taking place through the United Methodist Church and in our city is Project Transformation. There are different projects at different churches and different communities, and they need volunteers to read and to help with those children in this program. And we are collecting some special items for that ministry, and those are listed in the insert. So if you can contribute to that, that would be wonderful. Also this summer, we have a unique opportunity to learn together. We'll have a special summer Sunday school class for adults that will gather in McWhorter Hall downstairs each Sunday during Sunday school, starting June 3rd. And you can come. It's not, you don't have to go to all of them. You can pop in and pop out, and we have some great speakers coming. So we hope you'll join us for Sunday school. All are welcome. This morning is Trinity Sunday, a day when we celebrate our belief that God is three in one. And we consider together what a gift that is for us in our faith, what an important message that is for our world today. So let us gather ourselves, our hearts and minds, and prepare for this hour of worship together.
Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. Our hearts in true devotion bow. Thy Spirit send with grace divine, and let thy truth within us shine.
Amen. from the very whisper of creation, God poured forth love. In the fullness of time, God sent Jesus as a revelation of God's own self.
Praise be to Jesus, the many ways in which he revealed God to us.
When we thought all hope was lost, God offered the Holy Spirit to heal and guide us.
Praise be to the Holy Spirit for guidance and inspiration.
In repentance and humility, let us turn our hearts to the God who reigns over our lives as divine parent, redeemer, and sustainer. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the way of peace. Come into the brokenness of our lives and our land with your healing love. Help us to be willing to bow before you in true repentance and to bow to one another in real forgiveness. By the fire of your Holy Spirit, melt our hard hearts and consume the pride and prejudice that separates us. Fill us, O Lord, with your perfect love, which casts out fear and binds us together in the unity you share with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The commandment that we have from Christ Jesus is that we love one another, treating each other as beloved brothers and sisters. Abide in God's eternal love. Let its power and joy penetrate your hearts and spirits, preparing you for new growth in the Spirit. Amen. Now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to John. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you, so that when their hour comes, you may remember what I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of God for the people of God.
invite the grown-ups to be seated. I'm so glad to see all of you this morning and hope you're making plans to come to Vacation Bible School in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, good. I'm so glad. Yay. Sometimes I like to try to draw pictures of God, but that's really hard because there are a lot of different ways to draw God and to think about God. Sometimes I like to draw a heart when I think about how much God loves us. Sometimes I like to draw a picture of Jesus because Jesus showed us what God was like. Well, this morning on the front of the bulletin, there's a picture that somebody painted years and years and years ago of God. And you might think, wait, that doesn't look like God, does it? Well, sometimes we pray to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We say all three of those things. Well, we understand God is all three of those things. And this is a painting this man made to try and show us that. And you know what's really cool? It's a little clearer on the bulletin. It kind of looks like they're having a party, doesn't it? They're sharing a meal, maybe a tea party or something. And then there's an open space right there. When you get back to your seats, I want you to really take a look at this morning. And that open space is for you. It's a party, and you're invited. So when you think about God, think about how much God loves you and how fun God is and how wonderful and joyful it is to be with God and how much God wants to be with you. Let's pray together. Gracious God, sometimes it's hard to understand or to draw pictures of you, but we thank you for reminding us that you love us so much, that you're all about love, and that you want to be in a loving relationship with us. You want us to join you in your love. And we thank you so much. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening, and you can go back and sit with parents or friends or grandparents. On Trinity Sunday, I found myself concerned more about the children's moment than about the sermon for the rest of us. Trinity is a hard thing for all of us to explain or to understand. I'll never forget when I was first in ministry, fresh out of seminary. My first appointment was as an associate pastor at Brentwood United Methodist, and I got invited by the first grade class to meet them in the sanctuary. They told me to wear my robe and my stole, and the teachers wanted me to talk with the children about the sanctuary and the pulpit and the lectern and the altar table. And so we did that. We gathered at the baptismal font, and we talked about water and baptism. And we went to the altar table, and we looked at the cup, and I told them that the plate has a special name. It's called a paten, and that's what we use to serve the holy meal of communion. And we had all this wonderful conversation. And then I sat down with them for the last 10 minutes or so and let them ask questions. And one little girl raised her hand and said, "What's that on your stole?" And I had this stole that had a symbol of the Trinity on it. And I said, "Well, that's a symbol of the Trinity." Blink, blink. "What's the Trinity?" And that used up the last 10 minutes. And I think I confused them and myself even more than when we started. The truth is, it is a hard doctrine of the church for us to understand, not just as children, but as adults. What does it mean that God is three and God is also one? It can be so difficult to explain or talk about that it's easier sometimes just to let it be. Just to put that doctrine up on the shelf and let it gather dust. But every year, on the Sunday after Pentecost, the Christian calendar gives us this day, Trinity Sunday. And as the preacher this morning, I get to choose, am I going to talk about the Trinity or am I just going to leave that up on the shelf and preach on something else? Well, I like a challenge and an opportunity to explore with you together this gift of the church, this doctrine, this teaching of the church that God is Trinity. God is three in one. What does that mean? Does that have anything to offer us in our spiritual lives? Does it have anything to offer to our world as we are today? Well, I think it does. And so I want to invite you to join me in this exploration of this ancient and beautiful teaching of the church. We'll only get to look at one little angle of a multifaceted thing, but I hope it will shine some light for all of us on who God is. Much of our understanding of Trinity comes from the Gospel of John. You may know that the prologue of John's Gospel, the very first verse, opens up, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And that's how John introduces Jesus of Nazareth. That Jesus is the incarnation, the embodiment of God, who has been from the very beginning with God and has been God. So already John's Gospel is sort of blowing our minds. And then we get to this section of John's Gospel where we are this morning. Now, what's happening in the scene is that Jesus is sharing a last meal with his disciples, and he has washed their feet, and he has begun to teach them and talk to them, and this is his farewell speech, and it goes on for several chapters. And as part of that speech, he says to them that, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Jesus refers to God the Creator throughout the Gospel as his Father. "I and the Father are one. Abide in me as I abide in my Father, and my Father abides in me." And we're already seeing this oneness between Jesus and God the Creator, and also their uniqueness. And then we get to this part in chapter 16, where Jesus is telling his disciples he's getting ready to leave, that he must leave. He is going to die. But he reassures them, "Don't be afraid, because I will send to you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, that has been with God and has been God from the very beginning, but now is coming among the believers in a new way, to be within them and to guide them." And there are all these different verbs in this text of the many things the Spirit will do. Will remind them of what Jesus has taught them, will guide them, will glorify Jesus through them. And so in this one little text, we have the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. We have lots of different language, lots of different names for the Trinity. We, of course, want to be mindful that God is not masculine, and so we need other names besides Father. But the name Father is a gift to us because it points to that relationship, that very special relationship between a father and a son, a mother and a daughter, a parent and a child. This is the kind of love and relationship that exists within God. Sometimes we say Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. My personal favorite is one that St. Augustine offered to us centuries ago. God is the lover, the beloved, and the love between them. Isn't that beautiful? The lover, the beloved, and the love between them. Which really points me today to what I want to focus on in this gift of the Trinity. That what we have in God is a community of love. That within God, in God's very self, before anything else was created, there was relationship. There was love pouring from one to the other, being given, being received in mutuality and love. And we have this beautiful icon that we've put on the front of our bulletin this morning. It's painted by a Russian painter that portrays for us this Trinity. And you can see two of their heads are angled toward one. You can see the circle of love that's flowing back and forth between the three persons of the Trinity. So one of the things this offers to us is an invitation into that love. As I said to the children, at the table of these three, there's an open place, a place for you, that you and I are invited to abide in God. Abide as the Father abides in the Son, and the Spirit abides in them and abides in us. You're invited into that dance of love, just as you are. And not only that, but this image of God is a tremendous gift to our world, that God is known in community and in relationship. We live in a very individualistic world today, where people are focused on, if they have faith at all, it is kind of, you know, me and Jesus, or me and God, and my own personal growth. And I can follow God by myself. I can go out in my fishing boat and worship. And yes, you can. But God is best known in community, in relationship. And we cannot know love unless we practice the giving and receiving of love. And so offering to the world a witness of unity in diversity, of mutual love poured out and given and received, is a powerful witness in our very divided and individualistic world as it is today. What image do you hold of God? When you pray, does an image come to your mind of God? Maybe God as a heart beating, God as a river, God as wind. For many of us, perhaps, we have that image of God as a great king on a throne that we relate to but are a little bit scared of, who loves us but also judges us. And if that is our image of God, how does that affect our relationship with God, our ability to receive love from God? If that is our image of God, how does that affect how we live and act in the world? If we have that God on our side, are we then free to judge other people and look down on other people? Without letting go of some of those images of God, what if we were to hold this other image for a while? And next time we pray together to think about being at the table with a God who is already community, or praying as part of a dance of love with God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. And what if we were to go out into the world to proclaim a God who is gathered around a table in love, and at that table, there's always a place for one more? Given that it's Trinity Sunday, I would like for us to share in the Apostles' Creed this morning, which is actually number 881, this most ancient of our creeds, which we find in the form of the Trinity. So I invite you to stand as you're able and join with me in our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to make and to share, please fill out a gray card located in the pew rack in front of you and indicate if you'd like that to be shared or to remain confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they're passed down the pews in a few moments. This morning, the rose on the communion table celebrates the birth of Jack Thomas Husky, who was born on May 9th to Claudia and Bill Husky. He is welcomed also by his big brother, Liam Husky. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Creator God, we give you thanks for the beauty of your earth, for flowers, trees, and animals of every kind that remind us of your creativity. We remember too, O three in one, that you created us in your image and called us good. And we praise you for the way you are reflected in the interconnectedness and interdependency of all creation. Great Redeemer, we acknowledge that we sometimes forget or neglect to care for ourselves and one another as those who bear your image. We recognize that we are ever in need of your grace, ever in need of the example of Jesus Christ, who through his life, death, and resurrection showed us your love incarnate, your love in action. Restore us, O Christ. Restore your world. We lift up to you now those persons and situations most on our hearts this morning. On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice in the service of our country, and we give you thanks for them. O God, may your love be made known, may your grace be shared, and may your light illumine the darkest corners of creation. Sustaining Spirit, stir among your people. Help us to recognize your presence among us, especially when we are distressed or discouraged. Grant us vision, that we might be co-workers with you as you recreate, renew, and restore this world. Energize us for the task ahead, and help us to grow ever more holy. We ask all of this in the name of the Triune God as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As grateful recipients of the gifts of God, let us present our tithes and offerings with joy and thanksgiving. be seated. And I'd like to invite Jody Eason to come forward. She's a brave woman. We have five people joining at the next service, but she's the lone one for this service. But Jody is a realtor with the United States Equities Corporation, and she is transferring from Lakewood United Methodist Church in Lakewood, New York. Jody, as a member of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest member? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jody is now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her hope, increase her faith, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide within you and flow through you into our world today. Amen.